Doctor's Resume by Charles Leggett. Epigraph.
Nature uses the instrument of human fantasy in order to pursue her works of creation on a higher level.
The Father. Pirandello's six characters in search of an author.
The only thing worse than not getting an erection when you want one,
quips John Worthing, sipping champagne,
is getting one when you don't.
Elliot Chase snickers over his martini. Mirabelle grins through thick streams of pipe smoke, takes a swig of sherry. Deputy Governor Danforth raises an eyebrow. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Ignatievich Vershinin heaves a shot of Smirnoff and a sigh. Major Sergei Saranov scowls privately into his cognac. Pastor Manders bums a smoke from Elliot and orders another decanter of the house red as the father slams down his fist in protest.
Why do you laugh? It's awful, isn't it, when you don't have control?
Oh, dear,
moans Elliot, suppressing a giggle.
Control over what?
Queries Danforth, his eyes narrowing in a leer. An unconscious Bob Akers belches underneath the table.
Good heavens,
mutters Jack.
Control over appetite?
Offers Vershinin with a guffaw.
Or execution?
Adds Danforth with a yellow-toothed grin. Sergius cackles violently and slaps the barmaids behind as she clears Bob's empty schooners. Manders nearly knocks her over, rushing to the men's room. Mirabelle buys the next round and toasts.
To talk control is all quite well and good. A woodpecker is not without the wood. Some birds know much more than they really should. But here's a branch you won't see understood.
Hilarity erupts! Even the father cracks a meek smile. Bob wakes up, drooling, hits his head on the table bottom. Mander's sheepish return from the bathroom to think that they, Sergius his cackle, Vershinin his belly laugh, Elliot snickering, Jack's exclamations couched in tense giggles, Judge Danforth's bared yellow teeth venting of shallow, unvoiced exhalations, Mirabelle's billows of pipe smoke through sherry-red lips stretched in self-satisfaction, the father's wan, guilty grimace, Bob's agonized grunting, all Manders thinks must be laughing at him. Finally, Oberon arrives out of nowhere with the herb, and they all vanish into the forest.
Notes from the Workplace by Vincent Delaney.
I am a sick man. I am a spiteful man. I am an unattractive man. It's affected my outlook on work.
Nathan, what are you doing with all these books?
I'm filing them, Charles.
That's a dumpster. You're putting our books in a dumpster.
Well, most of these are badly written.
I think we need to talk.
After the library fired me, I couldn't stop myself. I was sick, and I knew it. I lost 9 jobs for cheating, for stealing, for provoking the owner's cats, once for insubordination, which was odd since no one knew what I really thought of them.
Nathan, do you like customer service?
Why do you ask, Meg?
Your face often seems, well, contorted.
I have a prosthesis, Meg.
I think we need to talk.
I floated for a time. I wondered why. Was it some sick thrill? Did I honestly just not like people? Why did I find so many ways to provoke them?
Excuse me, Nathan. I hate to bother you. It's just some of the callers feel like you're a touch surly.
They need to toughen up, Liz.
This is a crisis prevention center.
Sometimes suicide is the best choice.
What did you just say?
If you're fat and you're ugly, what's the point?
I think we need to talk.
I was an addict. 37 jobs. I raced to interviews, not wanting the job, but giddy at the thought of how they would one day fire me. What was I doing? I needed to clear my head. I decided to tutor exchange students.
Are you taller than your friend? No, my friend is taller than me.
That was completely wrong, Carlo.
Nathan, I am so sorry.
Do you want to learn this language? Are you even trying?
Please, correct me.
There's no point.
No, please. I owe money to the coyotes. I have to pay them. My family needs me. That is my only hope. Teach me English.
First of all, it's not, are you taller than your friend? It's, is you taller than you friend B?
Is you, excuse me?
Is you taller than you friend B? Say it.
Is you taller than you friend B?
No, mine friend is taller than me is.
Are you sure, Nathan?
Who's the native speaker here?
I shall never learn English.
Not with that attitude.
Excuse me, Nathan?
Mr. Jackson.
I think we need to talk.
Some men want to date hundreds of women. I understand, although it's morally weak. I would only need one woman. I've never had one, but that's all I would need. I want this. I can't help it. I like it. The moment when your coworkers inch away ever so slightly as you sit in your cube, the dread in your stomach, the need to sit on the toilet and lose everything. Why do I crave that? Why do I love it when the manager suddenly realizes I'm the cockroach that crept into his kitchen and his next move would surely be to crush me? The look in his eyes, the dream of it, I want to be that cockroach over and over again. It's so much work to live this dream.
Okay, now Carl here gets along fine with Coco, Dickers, and Spike. Carl does not get along with Butters. Do you have that?
Carl likes Coco, Dickers.
And Spike.
Carl does not like Butters.
No, Carl will rip Butters' face off and devour it if he gets the chance.
Did they used to date?
You have references, right?
Oh, absolutely. Just call the shelter. They know me. I'm there all the time.
So, here are the leashes. Color-coded. You'll notice each is a varying length based on the aggression level of the dog. The angriest dog has the really short leash.
That would be Butters.
No, not Butters. Butters is sweet. I'm talking about Carl.
I was just testing you, Debbie.
Okay. Most important issue, you leash Butters last and keep her on the long leash, way out in front. She starts to slack off, you call her name. You say, go, Butters, try it.
Go, Butters.
No, really say it.
Go, Butters!
Okay, for your first time, I'm going to just wait here. You take one turn around the block, see how you do.
Once around the block.
Once only. Nathan, these are really important dogs.
I got it, Debbie. I felt so free. A handful of leashes, the wind in the air, all the power concentrated in my hand. I thought of the human race and how much better it could be like this. But mostly, I thought of Carl and Butters. Carl and Butters. What had happened between them? What was the unresolved pain? The words left unsaid, the bitter hopes dashed. Had they truly loved and there was betrayal? It was wrong to let the questions hang. They needed closure. I wanted to provide it for them. Stay, Butters. Don't run from it. Go, Carl. Go for it, Carl. Work it out.
Ha ha ha!
It's a small room. Not even a studio. I can reach all four walls if I stretch, but I don't, because exercise is debilitating. I see 40-year-old men jogging, their bodies broken by exercise, limping, withered. I see the realization in their eyes. If they'd never once exercised, they'd still have a future. I don't like my room. I could afford more, but I like how I don't like it. I like the spite that comes to me in the night when I hear the laughter next door, the gentle voices. They don't know I'm here, a part of their wall or their ceiling or their floor. They don't know all the things I hear. They have a cockroach, each of them, suspended in their midst. I wish they would crush me. Sometimes I walk, I don't know why, in the park, past a mob of joggers.
Hi.
Excuse me?
Just saying hi.
Who do they think they are? Talking to me like that. I was rattled. I needed a pick-me-up. I went to a job fair.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the recruitment fair. I'm Anna. I'm a hiring specialist. It is so nice to see such smiling faces out there.
Hi, Anna. I'm Nathan.
Goodness, we have a self-starter here. His name is Nathan, not afraid to put his best foot forward. Nathan, why don't you come on up to this microphone? Come on up. We're all in this together. Everyone, give Nathan some encouragement. That is the spirit. That is the way to get every person in this room a job, a decent job, a job with benefits, a job with mobility. What do you say?
Yes!
Like everyone here, Nathan is out there early every morning, on the streets, on the internet, sending the emails. Is he updating his resume on a daily basis?
He is!
Does he research the company before he makes initial contact?
He does!
Will his hard work pay off with a high-quality interview that is guaranteed to leave a strong impression with the employer?
It will!
Nathan, this is your moment. I know there are some employers out there right now. No pressure for a go-getter like you. Tell us all, your fellow job seekers, your future boss, tell us your best quality.
I've been fired 47 times.
Let's move on.
I watch the joggers race by. The young mothers in their spandex, the sleek racing strollers. I wish they could see the terror in the stricken faces of their babies, strapped in, facing the fear of high speed alone. How is jogging helping them?
Excuse me. Hi. Hello there. Hi.
Are you talking to me?
I see you sit out here sometimes when I'm jogging. Thought I'd say hi. I'm Bree.
I'm busy.
You don't look busy. What's your name?
Nathan.
Every morning I pass you when I jog and I feel like you look a little sad. So, thought I'd stop and just say hi. And you know, well, cheer up, Nathan. You should cheer up a little.
What did you say to me?
I'm just saying, life is good. And I thought you should hear it. Have a good morning. Gotta move.
I seethed. I felt the hottest rage ripping at my brain. I walked. I stumbled into bars. I drank. I kicked things. How dare she? I felt violated. There are social rules, and she shattered them all. In one moment of arrogance, she robbed me of my dignity.
You look like crap. You want another drink?
Let me ask you something. If you hired me and I stole a beer, would you fire me?
Nah, I do that stuff.
If you hired me and I stole a beer and I beat up a customer, would you fire me then?
Probably give you a medal.
If I did all those things, and I slept with your wife and your sister, and I did it at the same time, and I did it here in the bar while your parents were playing pool, and your mother wanted to join in too, so I let her, would you fire me?
You're cut off.
I wandered all night. I don't know what happened. I think a car hit me, but it was a spongy bumper, and I passed out on the street, and later, crows dragged me away.
Look, it's a dead body. Awesome.
Is it really dead?
Well, it's not completely dead, but I think it's mainly dead, like roadkill.
Roadkill is totally dead.
Roadkill can only be sort of dead. That's how it gets back off the road.
You think he's roadkill?
Oh, my head.
Run!
No! Oh. We can't just run. He's hurt. Sir, are you hurt?
He's got blood all over him. I'm going!
Stop! We're going to help him. Can I help you?
Why are you talking to me?
Well, you're hurt. You're bleeding.
Why are people being so nice to me?
You need help. We want to help you. You're a person.
I couldn't take this. The entire universe was against me. All this kindness, this compassion. I felt so small, so impotent. My mind seethed with spite as I wandered through the city.
You're actually still standing here.
I looked at that little girl's eyes, brown and open and trusting, and everything changed. I saw a different place. I saw hope. It was an odd space, but I saw myself in it. Maybe I wasn't sick. Maybe I could be someone. I wandered through the city.
Actually, you're still here.
What's happening to me?
I don't know. You got hit on the head?
I've been so despicable. I've been vainglorious.
Which means?
I'm a jerk. And I'm so sorry.
I have to go. I'm not supposed to talk to bleeding adults.
The world seems so new. I thought of the stupidity, the jobs I had sacrificed, the wasted time. I thought of simple acts of kindness, the greatest mystery there is. I thought of Bree. Would I see her? Would she speak to me? I had to know. The park. My bench. But not my bench. A new hope. Maybe a new life. I saw the sky. Early morning sun. The shimmer on the lake. I saw the joggers. Fit, lean, focused. So healthy. So strong, so certain. Look at them, running before work, sweat streaming in their eyes, cocksure, proud, productive members of society, flaunting their health. And I realize something so profound, so true. I really hate these people. I want to ruin things. I want to tear everything I see. It's a drug, this feeling. I need more of it. I'm on this bench waiting for Bree. I can hardly breathe. I'm so excited. I'm missing work. I'll probably get fired, which only adds to the excitement. I won't move until I see her. There's something I want her to know. I am a sick man. I am a spiteful man. I am an unattractive man. And I like it.
This episode of Sandbox Radio Live was recorded at West of Lennon on June 20th, 2011. It was engineered by Christopher Stewart and mixed by Rob Whitmer. Charles Leggett's poem, Actor's Resume, was first published in the poetry journal Waterways, Volume 26, Number 7, 2005, out of Staten Island, New York. For more information about the Sandbox Artist Collective, visit thesandboxac.org.